ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. So we are studying this most marvelous dialogue between Maitreyi and Yajnavalkya. Even if somebody doesn't study any other Upanishad, but only Brihadaranyaka. Not even the entire Brihadaranyaka, but only this particular Brahmanam, called Maitreyi Brahmanam. That is more than sufficient. So we have seen, we must recollect the story. Maitreyi had become a disciple, wanted to follow her guru, Yajnavalkya. Following means not going anywhere. Sannyasa is not going anywhere. Sannyasa is not putting on any particular dress. Sannyasa is a particular state of mind where a person remains completely identified with God and God alone, Brahman alone. And Yajnavalkya, as we have seen, was a person who remained identified completely with Brahman, with God. Whether he is in the waking state, dreamless state, realized soul's realization never changes. His knowledge that I am Brahman never disappears. And at the same time, he can also, as a Jivan Mukta, perceive this entire creation. But then his way of looking at it is just like we look at a wax garden, and then we have two knowledges. There are many varieties of trees, plants, creepers, animals, birds, etc. Even there may be some houses also, but they're all different from each other. So, what is the cost of a house, a tree? It is not valued as a brick house, as a silver house of any other variety, but only wax, as 1 kg of wax, that is the value. That means they have the knowledge, this is only an object, but actually it is nothing but wax, with a particular form and with a particular name. That is, a Brahmagnani, if he becomes a Jivan Mukta, that is, he is using the body and mind by the will of Brahman, then he sees everything as Brahman and at the same time enjoys everything as Leela. Like we see the most horrible things on a cinema screen, or in a drama, but we know it is all a play, it is not reality. And when something is not real, anything goes. The most horrible crimes can be committed, and the more exquisitely a role is played, the more enjoyable it becomes. For example, in the Ramayana drama, two people have acted as Rama and as Ravana. We do not give awards according to the character, how well a person had played that particular role. That is what draws the attention of the judges. You know, there are so many, even in cinemas, awards are given and certain actors, actresses, etc. are given, recognized as superb in a particular cinema or drama, etc. But these are all for the sake of enjoyment. Since nothing is real, there is no one killed, no one is the killer, no one is the doer, no one is the enjoyer. And that is the knowledge. A person has during three states, because if a person is a Jivan Mukta, you can't say he is in Samadhi. He will be going through all the three states, knowing well, Aham Sada Brahmasmi, no one else. And that is the goal to be reached. And it is the only goal to be reached by everybody and anybody, even a mosquito, even a clod of earth. In course of time, it becomes organic and it evolves. And one day, it realizes it. There is a beautiful story in our Puranas. Once Narada came across a small insect, minute insect, and he was a Noira Brahman. Only he used to call that Brahman as Narayana. So he took pity and then he said, may you become a Noira of Brahman. And the moment the words escaped his mouth, the insect on the spot instantaneously fell down dead. And Narada knows, because he was a Brahmagnani. But if I or you are present, what type of yogi is he? He uttered some words and for this poor fellow, at least it was alive. Now it is dead. And once something is dead, we are blind. We have no eyes to see what happens to it afterwards. And same condition applies with regard to ourselves also. That is why we are afraid. Death means as if I may not exist henceforward. That is why Bhagavan Krishna assures us, Yayenam vetihantaram, eschainam anyate hatam, ubhautau na vijanito, nayam hanti na hanyate. So we have to understand this beautiful concept. It is not a concept. It is the reality. It is the only reality. Somebody is dead. Somebody is the killer. This is not the reality. So as Narada, he saw immediately that insect became dead and became a bird. And then it became immediately, as soon as it is born, it is dead. Then it became an animal. And then it became dead. It became a lowest of the human being, that is a Shudra, so to say. And then it became instantaneously a Vaishya, then a Kshatriya, then a Brahmana, then a Brahmachari, then a householder, then a Vanaprastha, then a Sannyasi. And it became realized. In the twinkling of an eye, it became a realized soul. So it is the grace of Brahmagnani. The grace of a Brahmagnani is none other than the grace of God, because there is no question of his being a part of Brahman. So when Holy Mother says, whomsoever responsibility I have taken up, that person is bound to get mukti at the last moment. And she used to say, it is like a person who is carried in darkness. He was asleep, but somebody carries that cot. And when he wakes up, he finds himself in a completely new place. Like that, an ordinary person becomes a Noira Brahman by the grace of any one of these Brahmagnanis. Remember, a Brahmagnani is never different from Brahman. That is the goal. And that is why Yajnavalkya concludes and says, nobody loves anybody. Why? Because there is nobody other than me. As if every body, every mind is a mirror. And I am looking in so many mirrors. But every mirror is made up of a different material. So the reflection appears as different depending upon the opacity, the color, and the dirt, etc. That is what we have seen. Everything is loved for the sake of the self. To make this point clear, Yajnavalkya again teaches to Maitreyi that if anybody, let me quote here, Brahmatam paradhat yah anyatra atmanaha brahmaveda. Here Brahma, the word Brahma should not be mistaken as Brahman. It is a Brahmana. If anybody thinks, I see a Brahmana, he is different from me, then instantaneously that object also makes us into an object. A subject means pure consciousness. Object means without consciousness. An object is inert. That is the truth. So, if we consider there is something, even one single thing, apart from us, separate from us, then instantaneously we become finite. Infinity means not that a collection of many number of finite things. Infinite means ekam eva sat idamagra asit ekam eva advitiyam. There is no variety. And this variety in the Upanishads has been expressed in as three. That is, first of all, there is what is called differentiation between two species. Vijatiya bhedaha. Then there is a difference between even one single object. For example, a man and a tree are different. But within the man, there is hands, legs, face, and so many parts are there. Every part is different. The name for the entire collection of every single part is called body, sharira. This is the difference within sajatiya bheda. But within oneself, there is also a difference. Our mind is different at different times. Body is different at different times. Between two human beings, there is infinite variety is there, so to say, within oneself. So, vijatiya bheda, sajatiya bheda, swagata bheda. And Brahman is bereft of this, all these three differentiations, and that is the definition of infinity, infinite. So, if somebody, while claiming to be a seeker of Brahman, he has to practice anything that we see, and that practice starts with, first of all, my mother is Brahman, then my father is Brahman, my teacher is Brahman, then everybody is Brahman. But there is a point to remember, unless first I look upon myself as Brahman, I won't be able to look upon anything as Brahman. So, I put on the lens of Brahman, and then only I will be able to see Brahman reflected through that lens, time, space, causation. So, that is what spiritual progress means, progressively removing the differentiation and achieving unity. And if anybody doesn't succeed in it, then we have to say immediately an object makes a subject also into an object. And several examples are given. I told you six examples are given. Six rejections are given. If a person rejects Brahmana, Brahmana rejects him. It is not that he is rejecting. I am myself making him separate from me. So I am doing the same thing to a Kshatriya and the entire world, all the gods, every being in this world, living and non-living. And then in the end he concludes, Sarvam tam paradat yah anyatra atmanaha sarvam veda. So everything has to be completely made one with oneself, because everything is Brahman. So this fact may escape our attention. That is why Yajnavalkya now concludes, why should I not look upon anything else as separate from me? Because idam sarvam yat I am atma. Taking the example of the wax, children may look, this tree, this plant are different from every other tree, every other plant, every other insect, every other animal, every other human being, every other house, etc. But a person who knows everything is made up of only wax, and what is the value of this one? Vax. Now substitute that word vax with Brahman. Everything is Brahman. What is the nature of Brahman? Sat Chit Ananda. The person is always bliss. He doesn't obtain bliss. He doesn't experience bliss. He says, I am bliss. When I am bliss, the experience will be continuous, constant. Whenever we use this word experience, we have to remember there are two meanings, the external meaning and the internal meaning. When we say, I am experiencing another person, another object, it means that my knowledge of that object is different, and it is only the knowledge of one particular object. In this creation, there are millions of such objects, and the moment I say, this object is different from me, I lose my subjectiveness and I become an object myself, because when I look at you, you are an object. When you look at me, I am an object. So, Yajnavalkya wants to emphasize, idam brahma, idam kshatram, ime lokaha, ime devaha, imani bhutani, idam sarvam, yat ayam atma. So, he says, at last, idam brahma, this brahmana, this kshatriya, these worlds, these gods, these beings, and the entire creation, idam sarvam srishti, yat atma, ayam atma. It is nothing but atma. Because of my ignorance, I am helplessly seeing everything as different from myself. And what is the result? Dvitiyadvai bhayam bhavati. It is only from the second that fear comes. Always fear comes from the second. Very interesting examples we can give to make this point crystal clear. Suppose I am very much attached to my money in the bank. Then if that money becomes less for whatever reason, or if somebody hacks my account and empties my bank account, for whatever reason, I feel depressed. I feel I should commit suicide. Many people commit suicide because they think they are nothing but their property. If property is not there, I am not there. If property is there, I am there. If less property is there, I am not there. Only when there is more than what I can count, then only I am there. I am my property. Similarly, I am my family. Similarly, I am my religion. Similarly, I am my body. Similarly, I am my mind. These are all wrong notions we have to understand. But Yajnavalkya says, why should anybody think everything as Brahman? Because that is the truth. Sarvam et ayam atma. He concludes, he summarizes his six rejections into one. Sarvam, the whole creation is nothing but Brahman. And for that, logic also is employed. What is the logic? An effect cannot be different from a cause. Whatever number of objects are there, in that example of wax garden, everything is nothing but wax only. When we say it is wax garden, we see so many things. They are called forms and names. And we have seen in Chandogya, it is nothing but only words. Words trap us. That's all. So the reality is, it is only one. Karana, karya, there is absolutely no difference. The only difference is nama and rupa. Gold and ornaments. What is the difference? The weight of the ornament is the weight of the gold. The substance of the ornament is the substance of the gold. It is not separate from gold. And therefore, then what is this earring, nose ring, anklet, bangle, necklace, waist, belt, made up of gold. We had, I have seen, my mother had it. It is so heavy, I don't know how much it was weighing, 1/4 of a kg or whatever it is, and extremely costly, even in those days. Nowadays, the price goes through the roof. But it is all nothing but Namarupa. There is no object called ornament. It is only gold in a particular form, and to separate it, to distinguish it from other ornaments, we give a name. Every form is only for a particular utility. You cannot wear a waist chain made up of gold round your neck. Only a necklace. So, that is what Yajnavalkya wants to teach. There is no Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. We have to add those words. It is not given here. Everything in this world is the manifestation of Brahman, and it is nothing but Brahman. The quality, the nature of Brahman is only manifesting as this creation. This is what we have seen before. Then, how do we understand? How do we realize? So, relationship between Brahman and this creation. Creation is the manifestation of Atman or Brahman. So, how do we know? Of course, one important point we have to keep always in our minds is that these are not evident to our normal, ignorant mind. We have to have faith in the scripture. No reasoning works there. As I mentioned earlier, what is the relationship between a scripture and reason? So reason doesn't make the scripture real and true. No, the reasoning process is to help us, to aid us, so that we can understand the scripture in a better way. That's all. Reason never made anything real. Reason is only to remove the chaff called untruth from the truth. So just like when there is a stain, you take the reasoning medicine that is called the stain remover. And when you apply the stain remover, it doesn't make something different. It just reveals what is not so clear because of the stains, outer coverings, etc. So, this is Shastra Sammita Tarka. Logic is always used by every scripture, any religion, only to make us, to help us understand the scriptural truth properly. That's what we have to know. Now, to make this point clear, Yajnavalkya, remember always, Yajnavalkya, the greater the teacher, the clearer will be their teaching. And just like Sri Ramakrishna gives plenty of similes, examples to make his listeners understand things. He used many instruments for making a point clear. Sometimes bhajans, sometimes explanations, sometimes examples, sometimes logic, etc. So, Yajnavalkya wants to make the understanding of Maitreyi clearer. And what does he do? How does he do it? He gives three examples. And it is interesting. Through these examples also we can know. What can we know? When an example is cited by an author in a book, we have to understand that that particular object is existing even then. So here, three examples. A drum, a conch, and a veena. So there must have been drums. There must have been a conch. We see in Bhagavad Gita, the very first chapter. So Arjuna had his own conch. Krishna had his own conch. Pandavas had their own conchs. Duryodhana, Dushasana, Bhishma, Drona. And each one had their own names. Conchs. That means conchs were being used to make this sound. And now, even today, all these are available. Veena is there. Veena is especially popular in South Indian music Karnataka music. So, that means even in those days, this Veena was there, flute was there, many other instruments were also there. And this Veena is a marvelous thing. So, how beautifully one can bring out different bhavas. By the way, Indian music is divided into what is called a vehicle to express 9 types of emotions called Nava Rasa. So, romanticism or separation or humor or heroism or terribleness, frightfulness, Bhishana, all these, there are all the emotions that can be, that were, are, and will be experienced by any human being. They are all classified into 9 rasas. They are called rasa. Rasa means what? Happiness. Why is it called happiness? Because you all know, when somebody can tell a beautiful joke, then everybody will enjoy it. But suppose a painter paints a very painful picture, an old man without eyes, without limbs, suffering from cancerous or what is called leprosy. Limbs are falling down and insects are just eating live from his body and the person is in a terrible agony. So when you look at the picture, what happens? It makes you feel it is so real. And it makes you feel like, you feel like weeping. So there are some songs, these are called, when two lovers are separated, then the song of separation, that is the main theme in the Vaishnava literature, Vaishnava songs. Union, first comes separation, then comes union. First comes viraha, then comes Milana, Radha and Krishna. So, an expert musician, great musician, can bring out effortlessly 9 types of feelings, and every one of the feeling brings tremendous joy. And that is why music is called, next to spirituality, music is the greatest thing. Because you can experience, even in spirituality, all these things. What is the connection between the kala, the art, aesthetic enjoyment, and Brahmananda? The samya or similarity is that it is not reality. It is only depiction of reality. A drama, a poem, a sculpture, or a bhajan, a song, a piece of literature. These are all nothing but expressions of different bhavas, different emotions. But when we study them, when we experience these feelings, and they all end giving us indescribable joy. How come when there is such a tragic drama, like Shakespearean dramas, etc., how can they give joy? Because they are dramas, they are cinemas. They are not real. They bring us the aspect of reality. And by the way, why this kind of art has developed? It is to bring us to our mind from a higher spiritual point. Everything is a drama. Everything is a cinema. Everything is a leela. What is leela? Appears terribly real, but not real. I should perhaps not have used the word terribly real, because only some bhavas are painful, but some bhavas are the opposite, very positive, hasya rasa. Nobody thinks that a joke will not produce what is called joy. If a joke doesn't bring out that joyful laughter, not forced laughter, but joyful laughter, then that is, we know that it is not real. It is a joke. So, in this whole world, the whole creation is Bhagavan's joke. What? Bhagavan is joking with us? No, sir. Don't mistake. You do not exist. Bhagavan is joking at himself. And that is the greatest spiritual practice we have to develop. If only we can objectify ourselves and ferret out all the foibles, all the defects covering our eyes, that I am great, everybody is not so. But if we can look at our own foibles, then as some waghead said, that if we can only look at ourselves, we never lack entertainment. But only a spiritual person can look at oneself and then say all these things. So according to Hindu scripture, the whole creation is a joyous sport. And in this creation, there are tragedies, there are comedies, so many other things are there. These are just a little bit of introduction. But from now onwards, in these three mantras, the Yajnavalkya is going to describe how or what is the relationship between cause and effect. And for that, a beautiful example is given. And it requires a little bit of thought for us to understand it. Let me first give an example. So when sound is coming through a flute, let us say, then it is a flute sound. There is a samanya shabda, a general sound. Because the sound that comes from a flute and the sound that comes by beating a drum or by playing on veena, quite separate. Flute sound is separate. The moment you hear the flute sound, immediately you understand it is a flute. Veena, if you know a little bit, yes, you understand. Violin, yes, it is a violin sound. Tabla, yes, it is a tabla sound. So here drum means you can say tabla sound, whatever it is. So a drum, a conch. So in India, conchs are extensively used for temple purposes, for any what is called celebrations, etc. Any mangala karma, even weddings also, they are used. So we have to say, when a sadhu visits a devotee's house, this conch is blown as a sign of something very special, celebration. So just imagine a sound from a flute is coming out. And that sound, we can say, it is a sound of a flute. But then the flute is played according to Indian, there are what is called sapta swaras, seven notes are there. Sa, ri, ga, ma, pa, tha, ni. And there are upper seven notes, middle seven notes, lower seven notes. So everybody should be familiar with these seven notes. And every note is considered as a goddess, devata. That's why they have got very special names also. Second note, for example, is called Rishabha. The fifth note is called a cuckoo, koila. So like that, every note has got its own special name. And every note modifies the general sound in a particular way. So as I was giving the example, when sa, the first note is played on a flute, so you hear the normal flute sound, normal sound, natural sound, samanya shabda. But the moment he goes up, then the pitch is a little bit higher. Then it is altered. And if you go to the third, then it becomes higher pitch. Like that, higher, still higher. And by the time you reach ni, the seventh scale, then it becomes high pitched. Now what I wanted to tell you, first of all, whenever you hear a flute being played, you have two types of knowledge. One is the general cognition, this is a flute sound. And then that flute sound is now being expressed in different pitches. Different, and a combination of these things are what makes a raga an Indian composition beautifully. So the same thing applies to any instrument, even vocal instruments. As you all know, Indian music is divided into the southern Indian Karnataka music and then Hindustani music. And one is Hindustani music is called Bhava Pradhana. Emotion is given more importance. And the South Indian music is called Laya Pradhana. That is, the rhythm is given a little more importance. But Bhava is there in both of them together. They developed totally different way. But Yajnavalkya, what he wants to say, the drums were prevalent, conchs were prevalent, veena was also prevalent. How many thousands of years back this Yajnavalkya was teaching? That means the veena was still present there. Now, as I was explaining, when we hear the sound of a flute, there is a general sound, and soon that general sound is modified to come out in a higher and higher and still higher pitch, etc. But still, we have that general knowledge with specific knowledge. So general sound expressed in seven different notes. So what is the point? Point is, we are aware, first of all, this is the sound of a flute. Second, this is the third note of the flute sound. This is the fifth sound of the flute sound. This is the seventh note sound of the flute, etc. So in and through there is what is called a normal sound, normal to flute, and a special sound when the flute sound is modified. So take harmonium. There is a harmonium sound. And as you go here, you can hear it is a harmonium sound being played, a piano sound. There is a general piano sound and there is a played piano sound. So in everything that we see, that this difference is there. But I will give a modern example. Suppose you are very fond of sweet. Sweetness is the very normal type of, one type of taste, as opposed to salty, bitter, sour, etc., etc. But what is it that makes difference between various sweets? Some are mixed, they are mixed with some fragrant spices, etc. So clove or what we call elachi. So like that, there are infinite number of varieties of sweets are there. And how do we distinguish? Because every sweet is expressed in a different way. So some prefer one type of sweet, some others different type of sweet. Sweetness is general taste and its variation is the special taste. So also we have got this same thing is there with regard to everything in this world. Take another example. You have a friend, is a human being. And this human being, as a human being, that is the normal sadharana, that is very common knowledge. But when this person, he is smiling, smiley person, frowning, frowning person, angry, angry person, happy, happy person, the same human being in different expressions. But we know, we never forget. So what do we say? How do we know we are not forgetting? Angry person, etc., etc. So I hope I have given you this normal expression and the same sound here in played in different ways, but we are aware of both. That is the first point. Second point is, first we are aware of the normal sound, then only we are aware of its modified sound. So in spite of, suppose there is a flute being played, tabla being played, harmonium is being played, somebody is singing. So there can be more than 100 or 500 instruments, modern concerts you can see. But we can distinguish every instrument from every other instrument by their normal sound, natural sound, and variations in that natural sound. Through this, what does Yajnavalkya want to convey? Brahman is the very natural, normal existence. Brahman as existence. And then the modifications. You modify in the form of a cat, it is Brahman in the form of a cat. Brahman modified in another way, what is called as a rat. Brahman as a tree. Brahman as a rock. Brahman as water. So, to revert back to our normal understanding, Brahman as Akasha, space. Brahman as Vayu, air. Brahman as fire, Agni. Brahman as Jala or waters. Brahman as earth. Everything is nothing but manifestation of Brahman. So the existence is common. Another way of looking at it is that even from a modern scientific point of view, everything, anything that we experience in this creation can be reduced. First they reduced it to atoms, then they reduced it to electrons, protons, etc. Then they reduced it to particles. Then they reduced it now through certain concepts. It is only concept. But whatever it is, let us take atoms as an example. So, here is a man, and here is a dog, here is a tree, here is a rock. So, different living creatures. Reduce them, they are all atoms. Reduce the non-living things, inert things, like rock, etc. They also reducible to only atoms. Everything is an atom. That is the common ground. I am using the word atom instead of saying the concepts in the mind, idea in the mind. A great scientist said, it looks as the whole universe is nothing but an idea, a thought in our mind. He hit the target, as it were, that is the highest truth. Even the concept of Brahman is only a thought in our mind. Concept of whatever we are experiencing is only concepts. Concepts means different thoughts in our mind. That's all. Nothing else. Because when we cease equating, seeing everything as separate, then we ourselves disappear. There would be nobody to say, I exist. Sri Ramakrishna expressed this beautiful idea. If suppose there are 10 pots full of water, one sun in the sky, and 10 reflections, one real sun, you go on breaking one after the other, finally there is only one pot with water, one sun, break that 10th also, how many suns will be there? And some clever devotee said, only one sun. Sri Ramakrishna corrects. No, even you are saying that is one sun, only when you have the reflected sun. But once that reflection disappears, there would be nobody to tell. Who is that reflection? You who are answering the question, you are that last reflection. So, through these three examples, Yajnavalkya wants to convey the idea, everything is nothing but Brahman. And Brahman is reduced to Sat, existence. And what we experience is called existence. Not only I am experiencing the existence of the external world, I am also experiencing the existence of my own self, the subject. So, what is the big deal of difference between the existence of an object and the existence of a subject? From the existential point of view, existence point of view, there is no difference. That is the idea. That means Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, having said Sarvam Idam Atma, instead of Brahman, Yajnavalkya used in this Brihadaranyaka, the word Atman is used more than the word Brahman. But Atma is Brahma, Brahman, and Brahman is nothing but Atma. We have to keep in mind. We will discuss these three examples tomorrow. But if you have grasped what I tried to express, then it should be a walkover in tomorrow's talk. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhoho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.